Since Bulakov was also aware of Gervich's work, he tried putting a piece of glass between the two sets of eggs. And once again, by shielding off infrared and ultraviolet light, the effect completely stopped. As expected, it worked perfectly if he used a piece of quartz instead. Bulakov also found that by using different wavelengths of light and polarizing lenses, he could create freak abnormalities, such as multiple heads and multiple hearts. If he then reintroduced the normal wavelengths, these abnormalities disappeared, and the fish larvae would revert back to their usual pattern, showing no signs of ever having been mutants. This creates much significant trouble for the Darwinian model of evolution, which is all based on mutation. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. According to Russian researcher Dr. Alex Kaivarainen, both bacteria and insects have been observed to experience remarkable healings by simply being close to other members of their own species who were healthy. Parsons and Heal poisoned bacteria with antibiotics in 2002 and found that they recovered if they were near other bacteria that were healthy. Agajanian got the same results in 2003 with insects. It certainly pays to have healthy friends. Think about how people who are dying tend to reach out with both hands to touch someone who comes up to speak with them. It may very well be that a two-handed touch enhances the absorption of the source field. Is it possible that human beings can send energy to bacteria, plants, animals, and other humans, and help improve their health in some way? This is exactly what Dr. Daniel Benor discovered after analyzing a total of 191 different controlled studies of spiritual healing. Amazingly, 64% of these studies showed statistically significant effects, including studies where the healing work was performed over substantial distances. Let's not forget that 36% of the studies did not appear to show any healing effect. So what you usually see in the mainstream media is an article that discusses one of the experiments that failed, and then concludes that we have scientific proof these effects do not and cannot work. This is simply not the case. Alexandra David Neal visited Tibet in the 1920s and wrote up her stunning observations in the 1931 classic, With Mystics and Magicians in Tibet. Among many fascinating things she witnessed firsthand, some of which we will discuss later, the Tibetan monks explained to her that all of their mystical abilities came from being able to harness waves of energy through meditation. The secret of the psychic training consists in developing a power of concentration of mind greatly surpassing even that of men who are by nature the most gifted in this respect. Mystic masters affirm that by the means of such concentration of mind, waves of energy are produced, which can be used in different ways. That energy, they believe, is produced every time that a physical or mental action takes place. So, as we make our own thoughts more coherent, we may increase our ability to access the source field and determine how and where it flows. This is a very important point, as it helps explain why so many ancient spiritual traditions place significant importance upon meditation. Let's again go back to our 7,000 people meditating and reducing all terrorism in the world by 72%. It appears they are doing this by creating coherence in the source field. This in turn affects everyone else's minds directly, since we all share consciousness with each other in a measurable sense. And this is truly a fascinating new way of looking at ourselves and the world. In Koznachayev's stunning discovery, healthy cells picked up the genetic code of a virus from diseased cells through nothing more than the information structure of disease that he transmitted into them. This strongly suggests that DNA is not fixed in one configuration, but the code can actually be transformed from one life form to another on a strictly energetic basis. This fascinating discovery opens the door to a whole new investigation of one of the greatest scientific mysteries of all, the evolution of species. Is this truly a random process, as most Darwinian scientists insist? Or is something else going on? Believe me, I'm definitely not a creationist who thinks every word of the Bible is literally true and that nothing on Earth is over 7,000 years old. Nonetheless, it is ridiculous for the mainstream media to polarize the discussion between science on the one hand, a model that is more than 100 years old and fraught with problems we will soon explore, and religion on the other. The evidence we've already looked at suggests that the codes for life may exist in the source field itself. This information then flows into our own reality through ultraviolet light, not unlike how visual information may be flowing into the pineal gland through a Stargate-like silver cord tethered to our energetic duplicate body. In the next chapter, we will explore new data on species evolution and find out if we have any proof of these radical new ideas.